So who are we?
We are the three. The chosen three.
Yes, sent from the future to invade your past.
We are Q's in a pod.
We're lined up orderly inside of a small containment unit.
Amber, who are you?
I'm Amber, apparently.
What do you do?
I'm an artist, farmer, garden, maintenance worker. Plus, my favorite food is...
Oh, it's so hard not to say the obvious thing. That...
What?
Cock. Because...
Slow roasted cock, you know. Yep.
German nice... slow roasted...
What?
The German cannibal who...
No, I was just thinking about how you kill old rooster and cook it. And make chicken soup.
Actually not bad.
Daniel.
Yes.
Who are you and what's your favorite food?
I always hesitate to say I'm Daniel because I have this deep ingrained like dissociation from arbitrary labels and that's not how I think of myself.
Okay. Mr. Phil Sandalfon. Favorite food. Souls of the Damned.
They are toasty. Toasty oh god, souls. Favorite. It's so hard. It's so hard.
What's your favorite food to make?
I make so little food now. Okay.
What's your favorite food to get at Duo?
Cassoulet, yes. is amazing.
I have to look up cassoulet.
Duck confit, rabbit sausage, French baked beans, fresh smoked bacon bit, like pork belly that's been cut into bacon pieces. It's the best. It's baked. It's even better the second day because like you reheat it and it just caramelizes everything.
Okay. And my name is Tom Quackenbush, author. My favorite food to make is this curry cauliflower. And people always kind of balk at like you like making cauliflower, but you don't even taste the cauliflower anymore.
No, it's really good.
The curry and the cheese and the unhealthiness just completely destroys the vegetable part. So it's delicious.
I really like salmon too.
Salmon's very good. You make a great salmon teriyaki.
Yeah, yes. Sometimes.
Teriyaki salmon, yes. Did you see the viral video going around this week of the young trans girl getting her first course of hormones?
I saw the excited picture that George Takei tweeted.
Yeah, that's pretty much all you need. It's pretty cute.
She's just
cute
really kid. Happy.
Really happy. I think, you know, she'd gone to the doctor. They give you some implant to stop you from going through puberty.
Yeah.
But she didn't get... this was the first time she had estrogen.
Yeah.
And she was very excited.
Yeah. Yeah, I know that's one of the reasons why it's so important to, like, you know, catch it and have access to treatment as early as possible.
Yeah.
Because, you know...
So you can be hot still.
Well, yeah. Well, mostly because, like, it is much harder. Like, the older you are, obviously, the harder it is to
yeah.
It's more accepted if you start when you're younger.
It's true.
And then you don't have to, like, necessarily deny your childhood like some people do.
Is this personal to you?
No, I just know someone who denies her childhood.
Oh, yes, of course.
Yeah. Which I can imagine it being difficult.
Yeah.
Be like, yes, when I was a little boy.
Yeah, when I was a young boy, I played the silver balls.
When you were a girl? The song?
A different song. I was going with the Who, Tommy.
I was going with...
Dar Williams. I know.
I'm a Philistine, so I don't know either of those.
Oh, it's a cute song. It's about, like, a girl singing, like, when she was a boy, she used to climb trees and, like, you know, do boy things. And then she's like, and I've met you, and you're my man, like, you've won or whatever. And he says, you know, when I was a girl, I liked hanging out with my mom. And it's a cute song.
Baking, yeah.
Baking.
It's good people, that Dar Williams. What are we talking about tonight?
Apparently we're talking about gender again.
No, we can't do it. It's people when you talk about gender.
It's kind of like our version of Dan Harmon's problem with you know, racism. It's like, he can't not talk about it.
It is difficult.
Yeah, there's another pin on the floor.
Yeah, it's almost like somebody was doing something involving pins and then carelessly throwing them about.
Pins everywhere!
I think he's pinning this crime on you.
How about we just put a pin in it now for Tom? Tom.
I don't really appreciate these attacks.
Yes, it's very tack seeming. This
that didn't have any tack, Tom. I mean, Daniel, whoever you are.
Tact,
yes.
Well
then.
I have tactile responses, but that's going too far.
Well, let's thumb through some topics. pieces of thumbtack.
I got that. Thank you.
Yeah. Am I pushing it too hard?
Listeners, this podcast will be entered into evidence as Exhibit A in why Amber was murdered.
Oh, no.
It's bound to happen. Well, actually, no, I shouldn't say that. Cause,
I'm sitting on pins and needles. Possibly literally.
True. I feel like you're kind of stuck on this topic, though.
Yeah. But for a moment there, you could hear a pin drop. Because, you know,
yeah,
it was quiet.
Yeah.
But I still love you a lot. I'm giving you a little bit of hypodermic affection.
I think this is a prickly situation. Or a prickly pear.
Q's in the pod! The podcast where we make puns for like 3 minutes.
Yeah.
Who doesn't make puns for like 3 minutes at a time? Like, whenever a pun comes up, like you have to do puns for a while. Like, it's not like you do a pun and you're done.
I guess you'd agree that a mind is a terrible thing to taste.
That was actually pretty good.
So,
folks, you should go check out Hammable.
I'll link it in the show notes.
And you should also check out Hannibal. But Hammable is adorable too.
It's also that artist's like actual series, like Little Friendlies, is pretty good. Also,
you have to watch that.
Pretty good.
So, you should also go back and make Hammables for the rest of the episodes.
Seasons yes, 1 and 2, because you're listening clearly.
Yes,
artist who made that series. We're not even like saying your name because I don't think any of us know.
No, we don't know it. But
you too,
I would totally want to see a Freddie Lowndes puppet.
Oh my god. So, it might just be that redhead Miss Piggy, except with curlier hair.
Of course.
Yeah, that sounds about right. Yeah.
Occasionally I feed people's cats for them.
That is a viable field of work.
It happened once. You don't serve, you don't feed people two cats yet.
Yet.
But when you become a supervillain.
Really? Man. You don't feed people to cats? You just leave cats and a dead body in the same room.
That's true.
Yeah, one of my, like, you know, my suicide plans, like, tend to have to, like, deal with what to do with the cat. Because, you know, you don't really want to, like I'm too big, I think, for one cat to finish. Yeah. So I might have to get two or three more beforehand.
So we'll know if you suddenly have more cats.
See, I was thinking you were worried that you'd have to, you know, board your cat or give it to someone so it wouldn't eat you and be traumatized and have to be murdered.
That is a concern, because then, like, you know, who's going to want the cat that, like, you know, ate its owner?
I don't think it's even an option. Like, I think they have to put it down at that point.
Oh, because it's tasted flesh.
Maybe. It might be evidence. I don't know. I mean, they had to put down the dogs in Hannibal.
Oh, yeah.
Did they?
I think so. The ones that ate the guy's face.
I don't know if they did.
I think they did. At least I remember Will mentioning it. We'll see it soon, probably.
In the book, that happens way in the past, so it has no connection to Will Graham. And I'm pretty sure both the dogs were going to die anyways, because Mason Verger was keeping them locked in a cage together, and he was only feeding one of them. Or they were best friends, and he had them separated, but he was only feeding one of them, and then he was going to like put them in together to see what would happen. And then Hannibal like gives them hallucinogens.
In the book?
Yes.
Okay, because in the movie they're Will Graham's dogs.
Yeah, well that makes more sense for like the narrative arc that they're going for in Hannibal. But
I had this theory this week, rewatching Hannibal, that Hannibal is clearly a vampire, but Will Graham is obviously a werewolf. He's scruffy.
Even wanders out sometimes at night.
Right, and he changes.
Yes, he isn't always a monster.
He
becomes one temporarily at times.
So I'm pretty sure that Hannibal is just a retelling of Monster Squad, the 1980s movie.
Yes.
I haven't seen this movie, I don't think.
Although I don't think anyone's kicked Will Graham in the nards yet.
Wolfman has nards.
You could kind of say Alana Bloom did.
Emotionally.
Well, enough about Hannibal, even though it's one of my favorite topics of conversation.
Yes. Also, clearly, if you're thinking about suicide in a manner other than joking, please talk to someone. It's important.
Yeah. We'll link a crisis hotline in the show notes.
Yes. Yeah.
All humor aside.
Well, after that depressing note.
That's right.
So.
Well, because that's how you come down off of the puns.
That's true. With suicide. That's the only way to escape them.
Thoughts of suicide offer comfort to many in the dark, or something of that effect, or something the effect of like many people get through the night on thoughts of suicide because it offers a release valve when you feel awful.
Well,
it also doesn't help when you're not, you know, well hung, like I'd like to be.
No,
you want to be well hung.
Yeah.
You're trying to bring it back to puns.
Yes.
About
yes.
suicide.
You made a suicide pun.
Well, but see, now I'm just imagining.
I don't know if I
like...
did I?
I think you did. You'll have to listen to it and see, but you may, it might have been unintentional, but it was kind of like a pun.
Yeah. So clearly this is like one of those topics that like is hard to mention and then get away from.
Yeah. So. Okay. New topic.
Yes. Like
not
what,
about
what...
gender.
Or suicide. Right.
How big does a clitoris have to be before it's considered well hung?
I don't know. I've yet to experience clitoris that I found quite so, you know, imposing.
I wonder if there are any clitorises, clitori, that aren't well attached.
Like a hovering clitoris? Like it's
no,
3 inches in front of
like
no,
vaginal.
I mean like it's not like...
But
I don't
know,
like it
longer...
has a weak connection or something.
Oh, well, I don't know. Okay, because the part that you actually see is just like a very tiny little nub, and the rest of it's actually like up under the pubis, and like it's this huge sort of subterranean structure. But I do know that some women do have very long clitorises, and they actually kind of protrude a little bit, and you know.
I wonder at what point it's considered long. I know, like, there's probably a measurement.
I think, like, any like, if it actually extends beyond the hood, like, that's
anyway.
You know, not abnormal, but it's interesting. Mm-hmm. Or
interesting.
It's maybe, you know.
It's a curiosity.
It's different. Yeah, I don't think that's, like the normal design feature.
Friggin' the Pope met with Kim Davis, and he's like, you keep fighting the good fight. The Pope...
Pope too, comparatively.
Just say this just because you weren't paying attention.
It's true.
Like he's good on the environment and sort of on you know economic issues, but he still belongs to a centuries old institution designed to like you know keep women down and anyone who.
But he was congratulating a woman.
Yeah, but he's congratulating her on like you know causing misery.
That's
to
true.
Other
yeah.
people. Yeah, again, she's not the only, I don't believe she's the only, like, anti-choice activist that he's met with.
Mm-hmm.
But those meetings all happen off the record.
Yeah, this was very much on the record. Like, he went out of his way to approve of what she was doing. Like, you could have just not met with her. She's not actually a religious leader. She's not a martyr.
No, I don't even, is she even Catholic? Because, like, I didn't get that impression
necessarily.
No, I
don't think
she's
actually.
Just Christian.
Yeah. Who knows what flavor.
Well, she has beads that have been blessed by a man in a silly coat. So
that is true.
You know,
I did hear, and they were talking about how the Pope chose to go to a prison and like talk to the inmates.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the family members of the inmates is like, "I can tell that the Pope is really religious," and I'm like, "You don't say that he's a really good religious man."
So
like,
isn't
what,
this Pope...
What tipped you off?
Isn't this Pope supposed to be the last Pope?
I think the last Pope was supposed to be the last Pope.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I mean, I'm pretty sure they're all supposed to be the last Pope.
Well,
yeah.
No, like, but, there's, like, a list. Like, what's his face in the prophecy and list them
Edgar
all out.
Casey?
No.
Nostradamus.
Well... You can't that's you might as well bring up Freud when you're talking about like serious developments in psychology. Like Nostradamus is clearly not
okay.
If you write gibberish like incoherent enough, then it applies to everything.
That's true.
Well,
back? Okay.
But talking about final popes and whatnot, there is the Fatima prophecies where there were three of them, and supposedly the last one. Which was so horrific that, like, people looked at it and then, like, blanched and were like, this is terrible. We can't possibly reveal this. Supposedly that one was that Pope John Paul II would be assassinated. And then he almost was. But really, like...
Wait, is that what was so awful that no one could look at it?
Apparently, which sounds like complete crap. And if there's that kind of prophecy, I mean, I understand, like... You know, someone's going to try to kill this guy, but someone's always trying to kill the Pope. Like, someone's always trying to kill the president.
But also, that's almost like, you know, a Lovecraft type of thing, where like, oh, the horrifying revelation is that you know there was a non-white person in your lineage.
Oh God!
You might as well be an ape.
Yeah, I don't know.
Okay, wasn't it the Dalai Lama or a Dalai Lama?
Oh,
who's
yes.
Who's decided he's not reincarnating?
It's the Dalai Lama. This Dalai Lama is like, fuck you, China. Right. I'm not reincarnating. Take that.
Is it still happening?
Well, yeah, except China. I mean, they've always officially held the position, or they're essentially have made the declaration that they get to choose who the next Dalai Lama is, which is why I believe he took this step to be like, oh, well, no, because I'm just not going to reincarnate.
And aren't they going to, didn't they basically say, you're going to reincarnate if we want you to?
Basically, yeah. But that's what happens when, you know, you play games of make-believe and there's, you know, no valid, like, way of measuring things. Like it's, oh, my force field blocks your force field times 10.
That is accurate.
It's like a D&D game.
I do remember.
No, D&D has at least structure. Like yes, yeah. You know.
It's like a D&D game run by 10-year-olds?
Yes.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yes. Was like,
no,
oh.
Not even! Because, like, what you didn't know is I was secretly, like, the Dalai Lama Pope. No, I'm the anti-Pope.
I wonder how excommunicated
yeah,
he would be.
I want to see the anti-Pope versus the Dalai Pope Lama. Like,
oh my God, can it be a llama versus a llama?
Also, final Pope, like, whichever, like, you know, Garage Band decides to take that as their title. You're welcome.
Yeah.
Okay.
You can send us money though.
So other current events. I'm gonna have to tell this to one of my coworkers because her child apparently is very interested in sharks.
Mm-hmm.
Sharks.
Apparently, sharks are attracted to death metal. Is that what I heard someone saying earlier today?
Yeah, oh, what a coincidence! I just happened to be reading that earlier and said it out loud to you.
I know, right?
No, I of course just read it. It was a headline on Reddit that apparently you can use death metal to attract sharks.
That makes sense.
That's pretty amazing. You can't be more metal than a
I
shark.
Believe I've also heard that death metal will make termites like eat your house 4 times faster, something like that.
I could see that because it's almost certainly a tempo thing.
Yeah,
true.
Like a lot of animals are very susceptible to you know sound waves and rhythms, and even though most animals can't dance, like still you know.
Yeah.
Shame.
Humans are fairly like are very susceptible to rhythms too. I think.
Oh yeah, yeah. No, I mean like video game music is a really good example of that because like it's. The a lot of times they say you can actually use most video game music for like study purposes because the music is designed to keep you alert and engaged and concentrating on you know whatever the task at hand is for a long period
like,
of time.
Like just the do 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 sounds are like now that they have full orchestras sometimes.
Well, I would go with a full orchestra.
Yeah,
but yeah, it
yeah.
is pretty.
I mean, even if you think back to like Final Fantasy VI, Super Nintendo era, like, you know, it's a masterpiece of sound work, and, but yeah, like, it just, you know, every region has this very, like, don't scoff at me.
No, I'm not, I was thinking of, Final Fantasy Advent Children.
Oh.
Well, you're the one person who ever thought about it.
I like Final Fantasy Advent Children.
I watched it, it's sort of fun sometimes.
At one point, his cell phone rang during a battle or whatever, and it was the final fight music.
It was Tifa.
Tifa.
She doesn't identify as he. But yes, no, it was hilarious.
I said someone's.
Yes. No, it was pretty good. It was a good gag. But yeah, no, like the battle music in that series, you know, it's just has that sort of, like, it doesn't really reach a crescendo, but it has, like, a definite up-tempo sort of tension to it.
I'll have to try it the next time I'm writing.
Stuff.
I don't know. I know some people that like, if they listen to music when they're trying to write an essay and it has words in it, they'll, like, randomly type lyrics.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, our brains are stupid.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember that one of the reasons I kind of liked Rammstein at first was because I didn't understand the lyrics at all, so it was very good for, like, drawing.
Yeah.
Because, you know.
I worked at an educational publishing company, and I asked if I could have orchestral and non-English music to listen to while I proofread, because proofreading is really boring, and my direct supervisor said, yeah, that seems fine, I have no problem with that. But then her supervisor said, no, he has to look like he's working, even though our clients couldn't get in the building because it is locked and secure. But the appearance of me working was more important than me actually efficiently working.
Yeah, that's kind of like, if you work in an office, you've almost certainly had that experience. Like, at my workplace, it's almost always been more important to look busy than to actually be busy. Because if you don't look busy, any random asshole can walk by and report to your boss without you ever knowing, and be like, oh yeah, I walked by and he looked like he was just sitting there for 2 seconds. And
it's
like,
yeah.
So it's like, yeah. 1984.
It is not unlike 1984.
And or a kindergarten classroom,
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, I've had somewhat I have never worked in an office, but I have worked fixing people's computers who are in an office. Mm-hmm. And at least one of the admissions office, at least, like, they never seem to do any work.
Yeah.
Like, maybe once were they busy when I was there, and every other time, like, people from other offices down the hall were, like, hanging out. I'm like, aren't you supposed to be, like, accepting students or something?
Well, and, like, that is one difficult thing is, you know, unless you do physical labor, it's, you know, it can be really hard to tell what you look like when you're working. Like, if mm-hmm. it's something that requires you to think at all, like, you may be just staring at the screen for, you know, 10, 15 minutes, not doing anything, but, you know, not at least not outwardly.
Especially, like, creative work, too. Oh, yeah. Like, if you have to come up with an idea for something.
Or if you're just trying to figure out, like okay, so in the case where there's a final decree in the bankruptcy, but the debtor hasn't been discharged yet, how do we report that to the credit agency? Because they haven't been discharged, and I don't have a ticket for, you know.
That sounds pretty hellish.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's, you know. But,
you should
that...
just, like, doodle while you... think that.
One, you know, assuming you have access to the internet, and two, assuming that there's an actual answer for that. It turns out there isn't.
Oh god.
So, you know, get discharged in your chapter 11s before you ask for a final decree, please.
Yeah, if you take nothing else away from Q's in a pot as a whole, it's that.
That and pin based puns.
Yes.
Oh, Jesus.
Ah, Jesus and pins.
It's true. So, Jesus walked into a hotel. He hands the innkeeper 4 nails and says, can you put me up for the night?
Yeah.
I stole that joke from The Crow. Which is a surprisingly bad movie, if you watch it now.
Considering that people die or something.
Well, buildings burn, people die, but real love is forever.
I mean, the main actors die, right?
Well, yes. Yeah, Brandon Lee, it was Bruce Lee's son, and it was either a curse or, like, gross negligence, but in his case, one of the prop guns, like, prop guns tend to have a blockage in the barrel, because, like, they just fire blanks, and it's an extra safety measure to make sure nothing ejects from the barrels. But that broke loose and was propelled as a projectile.
Wow.
and killed him during.
Wow. That's some poor luck.
Yeah.
It is. And something very similar happened to his father.
Well, his father died under potentially like odd circumstances. But that was like, he may have died from an aneurysm. But it's kind of like the Kennedy assassination. I don't think it's possible to get a clear answer on it. And it's hard to tell, like, because he did have some enmity from the traditional martial arts societies for having taught foreigners and other people.
Kind of assassinated.
Which is weird.
No, he's, if you can cut through all the bullshit surrounding Bruce Lee, he's an exceedingly interesting fellow. And
absolutely.
His books are very interesting, especially from a non-martial art perspective.
He is a lot. There's this great story that Jackie Chan tells, because Jackie Chan was like an extra sort of in his movie. And I guess Bruce Lee had to like lunge at his face, and Bruce Lee actually hit him and like kept going with the scene. But the minute they called cut, Jackie Chan like fell down, and Bruce Lee just like is holding him, is like, are you okay? Can I get you anything? Do you need anything? And he's like, and there I was sitting in Bruce Lee's arms, looking up at him as he, like, cared for me. And I never felt so warm and protected.
I mean, you couldn't, like, you know, this guy is cradling you who could kick anyone's ass.
Yeah. It's true. Legitimately, they had to slow down footage of Bruce Lee because he moved too fast for the cameras.
Yeah.
Wow.
By legend, Jet Li had similar issues until camera technology kind of caught up. But, you know.
Wait, so he had to perform slower?
I think he performed full speed, and then they slowed down the footage so you could actually see what he was doing.
Okay. Yeah. guess.
Well, actually, I do think he had to go slower in some cases, like because the cameras didn't have a high enough shutter speed. But yeah, I'm sure it was a little bit of both. Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely a mutant.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
one of the good mutants.
Yeah.
Now, like the people who think that they're magnetic when they just have really sticky skin.
What?
There are people who believe that they're magnetic. They're like, look, I can attach things, including plastic things, to me. But it turns out that they're just kind of sticky.
Yeah. Oh, you
like
didn't.
Sweaty?
You haven't.
Can't you just how you can put a spoon on your nose or like that?
Yeah.
Okay.
But yeah, they are just oily sort of people.
Yeah. Yeah, my skin produces more sebum than normal.
There are people. There's one guy who can. Amber currently is trying to put a spoon on her nose.
Yes.
Listeners.
It's not going well.
Not yet.
That is your eye.
That is your eye. That is unacceptable, Amber.
Also, it's stuck, though.
No, that's gravity.
No, and that's what they do, too, is they. Right now, she's leaning her head back. And that's what they do. They sort of lean back so it sticks a little bit better. So gravity is not working against them.
Yeah.
And again, it's magnetic on things that do not contain iron. So.
That's sort of like a lot of like telekinetic hoaxes and things like that. It's almost always, you know, even if the power were real, you're like, okay, so you can telekinetically move a pencil across a table.
So
yeah, what exactly is that going to do for anyone?
That's true.
It can kill vampires, Daniel. It can kill vampires.
No, I mean, if it's a really slow vampire that's going to, like,
very,
you know,
tiny pencil, very tiny vampire on your desk.
who will just, you know, like
trip
conveniently or perhaps even, you know, out of some sort of, like, self-sacrifice, be slow enough that you can.
Yeah,
you
what
know.
You don't know is that most paper cuts come from desk vampires.
Yeah, I see.
They charm you so you don't remember. So what I was saying before is there is a guy who apparently can put, like, crazy amounts of charge through his body.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen video of him, like holding live wires and then, like, touching just above paper and burning through it.
Wow.
That seems like a mutant power.
Yeah, that
is
interesting.
Either that or he's like Tesla.
Well, I don't think Tesla had superpowers.
Tesla supposedly had a superpower. Like, he, at least on one or two occasions, was seen to, like, just idly create an electricity ball and play with it.
Okay, I would see.
At least from what I heard.
Yeah, if I can ever time travel, that will be something I have to go back and see.
Yeah,
also,
yeah.
Apparently, once he vibrated his entire, like, apartment or something, like, with some machine, and, like, I don't know what it was, but it was something awesome.
Thing. Yeah.
Well, and then he had to, like, he, like, smashed it with a hammer because it was, like, destroying things.
Well, yeah. You do have to remember, like, especially towards his later life, he was, as much of a genius as he was also very prone to fancy.
Yeah.
I mean, this is the same gentleman who was in love with a white dove.
With laser
pigeon.
Beam eyes? Who wouldn't love her?
I mean, obviously, but, you know.
When the shark's laser beam runs out, it's still a fucking shark!
That is true. Which is why sharks with laser beams are superior to pigeons with laser beams.
That is true.
So then you just have a pigeon.
I saw a conspiracy theory this week that suggested that the Tuscunga blast in, I think, Russia?
Yeah.
But it was, like, 1908, I want to say. Like, an entire forest was just flattened.
Yeah.
And they're like, that was Tesla's death ray. He was testing it, and it went wild. And I guess the timing doesn't really work out, but it's a good kind of story.
No. Plus, like, we know now that's what happens when something explodes as an airburst with, you know, near nuclear force.
Yep.
Because that's what that was.
So a death ray.
Well, no, it was a meteorite.
I'm pretty sure you just agreed with me that it was a death ray.
I don't know.
Well, no, because
I heard him say,
rays don't explode like that. No, his death ray was like
so
a
vacuum. So it was a death meteorite?
Yes.
Yes.
From space.
Okay.
That
fuck you, space.
Yeah, space can fuck you anytime it wants. You won't even know.
It's doing it right now. Like, it's permeating your entire being.
It's
because
true.
You're mostly space in between the atoms.
Yeah.
And right.
Did you know that antimatter goes through you all the time, but you don't notice because it's so tiny?
And so it's against matter, though?
Yeah, it's like an anti-pope.
Yeah, so if you ever let the Pope and the anti-Pope touch, like it'll just, they'll mutually annihilate and release all of their energy
at once. Great deal of religious energy will be released.
And they won't find the Higgs boson again.
Well, I mean, actually,
the God particle.
Yeah, as I say, actually, nothing happens, but...
No.
No.
It's like if you press an asshole against another asshole, you just have two assholes touching. You don't really have, like, a force.
But if you flip one of the people around, you get a human centipede.
There you go. If you take two things away from cues in a pod.
How to properly identify if your human centipede is assembled correctly.
Oh my god. I once read this article. I don't know what this was at all. But it was like about the human centipede, the movie. Basically, someone being like, is this movie okay for my kids or something? I have not seen this movie. But for those of you who have not seen this either, from what I gather, it's about some, like, mad scientist or something that sews, like, three people together, ass to mouth, and just feeds the front one.
I'm pretty sure it's more than three. That's, like...
Several. And so most of the commenters were like, no, this is a whole... Like, don't show this to your children, you know, being sensible. And someone was like, no, it's a great movie. They're all overreacting. Your kids will love it. And, like, her response was like, oh, you guys are haters. I'm going to show it to them and they're going to like it. Or something.
That's right. Hey, I saw a terrible schlocky horror when I was a kid. I saw The Toxic Avenger when I was way too young.
Oh, man.
And I've tried watching a terrible movie. I mean, it's...
Yeah,
you know,
but that was before trauma was like a descriptive term.
Yeah. But yeah, my brain definitely glossed over some of the worse effects.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's what your brain does when you're...
That's why your parents seem perfect.
My parents seem perfect?
No, your parents when you're a child seem perfect.
I don't recall that being true.
Yeah, I say that's one of those experiences I do not share. Yeah.
Well, I mean, when you're very little, like you're not aware of it anymore. How perfect you thought they were.
No, because
they used to feed you, basically.
Yeah, but I was pretty like I pretty much existed in a world that only I could see, and you know, people were just sort of weird external things that I occasionally had to like interact with.
I can see that.
Yeah. So, you know, sorry, Mom.
Daniel, who had to be force fed.
No. Like if food was there, I would eat it because, you know.
Food.
I would wake up with hunger pangs after having just been fed because nature or whatever.
On a sort of related note, I was at a friend's house, Jinx, and I'm sure she doesn't listen to this podcast, so it doesn't matter what I say, but this is neutral. I like you, Jinx. Don't even worry about it. But I was at her house, and I'm like, so it's getting late. Like, I don't want to be a pest, but when do we have dinner? She's like, oh, you can just get whatever food you want from the kitchen. I'm like, I'll starve to death, Jinx. You can't just tell me I can take food from your house. You have to, like, direct me, or, like, we have to make food together so I know what I can eat. She's like, no, just, you know, make whatever you want. I'm like, I'm going to die. I'm going to starve to death. No.
I understand that. Definitely once when I was staying over at Laurel's, I remember waking up because, like, they had class and stuff, and, like, sneaking and being like, okay, what's in this fridge that I can steal, and maybe no one will really notice too much. Because I wasn't quite sure, like, what was her food and what was the roommate's food. I think I ended up making, like, eggs with some ham, like, some sandwich ham ripped up in it.
Yeah.
That works.
Yeah, it was pretty good.
Now, by class, do you mean that they were, like... Like, in a higher tax bracket? Or
no, we were in college.
Class? Okay, that makes more sense.
Like, I think she was actually doing an internship then, but yeah, like...
All right.
Well, I was at a college, and I was sleeping on the floor of a dorm of students.
Because, see, the image I had in my head was just, like, a super fancy house that you were, like, you know, tiptoeing around.
And you don't eat the service
in a monocule,
food.
Yeah.
Nom. No.
I just said monocule.
Yep. Laurel, upper class. She's a princess.
Yeah, I got that impression.
Well, you know, Saint Lucia, she's the sole princess. She's like the little prince from outer space, except it's Saint Lucia.
Hmm.
Huh. Does she also travel across the cosmos with stars caught in her net?
She does. When she plays Katamari.
I remember.
I believe that.
So you had a story that you may or may not want to say about pumpkin pie.
Do you think
and how it shouldn't be warm?
Do you think the listeners want to hear the pumpkin pie story?
I don't know. I guess listeners, not. Are you interested in why pumpkin pie shouldn't be warm?
Like, see, mine is a real personal reason.
All right,
but if you need,
it's similar to why I don't like peanut butter and jelly. It's similar in that it's a tasted version.
I'm going to tell the story now. I feel like you've put me in a corner.
Well, this is you can just edit it out.
Yeah, that's true. Or splice it together with like some other
story
episode. Maybe we'll do a food
issue. Tom doesn't like warm pumpkin pie because once there was warm pumpkin pie and it punched him in the face.
No. Or
kicked his puppy.
Not quite. All right, so here's the situation. I was in high school or college, and I'd been dating this young woman. And we were in her basement hanging out, like in the family room. Mm. And we had gotten somewhat amorous. And, her father walked down the back steps. Now, there was a small window just above the sofa. Mm-hmm. And he may have seen my underwear.
Ah.
I don't know. And she became quite aware that he had seen me in my underwear. And I'm like, I should have prefaced by saying that we were having like a second Thanksgiving sort of situation. So it was between the main meal and dessert. And I'm like, you know what? You should just take me to the train. I will go home now. Her response was basically like, there's no way in hell that I'm facing my parents alone. You're staying. And I'm like, damn it. I'm like, well, maybe they didn't see. Maybe there's nothing to be worried about. However, they came down after about 10 minutes, and then they lectured me and her about, you know, abstinence and whatnot. Now,
the horrible diseases you were about to give each other.
Well, I mean, that horse was out of the barn for like a year at least. Like, I'm so sorry. Maybe a conversation about safe sex, which we practiced, but it was definitely not about abstinence. And that it was disrespectful that I would do that on their house. And I'm like, well, I don't know what to tell you. I'm like 17 or 18. your daughter could do a lot worse. And I'm like, well, I've been lectured to by your parents. Clearly I should go. They're like, no, you're going to stay for dessert. I'm like, why would I do that? Why would I stay for dessert? But they insisted. So I went up and with all their judgment, we had dessert. And it was piping hot pumpkin pie.
Do you think that was purposeful? Like they were like, oh, fuck this kid.
I think that they genuinely like did not understand that pumpkin pie should be served cool to cold.
Hmm.
I like warm pumpkin pie.
Yeah, I don't
it's
think
good
I'd mind.
Warm. I Although, wouldn't say hot.
Yeah, I was gonna say he definitely said piping hot.
Yeah, I wouldn't
yeah,
say
it
piping
was fresh
hot.
From the oven.
Yeah.
Although, like, I do wonder how much of the distaste is like everything else surrounding that pie.
Oh, cause... I believe it is.
No, yeah, that's why it's like a taste aversion. It's not necessarily about the actual thing.
I have flashbacks, trigger warning about hot pumpkin pie.
It's the associated curse that permeates that pie.
Yeah.
Like, I can't have peanut butter and jelly, because once when I was little, I got really sick after eating peanut butter and jelly, like during a karate tournament or something.
Yeah.
And it had nothing to do with the peanut butter and jelly. But since then, like, even like, I've gotten better with it, but like being in the room with it would make me like sick.
Yeah, so, wait, yeah. No, see, my version of that was ranch dressing, but I also, like, actually drank a whole bowl of ranch dressing, because...
Why would you do that?
Because it's that magic combination of fat and salt and sweet, and yeah.
Who let you do this, Daniel?
Was it the cult? Is this how you proved you were Jesus?
Amusingly enough, like, no, it was just that I was home alone, and I don't remember if I was tasked with making it, or I had made it earlier, maybe, like, the night before.
So it was, like, homemade ranch dressing?
Yeah, because, like, you could get, like, a packet of the seasoning, okay. And then it's mostly mayonnaise.
Yeah.
And, but no, so like it had just been made, and I think I was home alone. I didn't have any, like, I couldn't. There weren't any other easy snacks, so I was just like,
ate it,
eating it. Yeah, and then I got really sick, and then after that, like, had an extreme aversion to Like, I don't really like ranch, and I'm not a huge fan of mayonnaise either, mm-hmm. but, you know, it's kind of...
Are you okay with deviled eggs, though?
I like deviled eggs, and, okay. and actually, like, I've gotten to a point where, you know, I'm fine with mayonnaise. It's just...
Yeah.
The ranch thing, I'm not a huge fan of, or salad dressings that are...
Like, I've gotten better with peanut butter and jelly. I still won't have a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, but I will have peanut butter and honey. So it's, like, getting there.
Yeah.
And I don't mind, like, and I have made peanut butter and jelly sandwiches for other people.
Oh, God. So one time I was sort of being babysat by this woman who was sort of, like, either a work colleague of my mother's, who had a girl around my age that I believe was homeschooled, and, like, periodically, like, she would kind of watch both of us. But the main thing I remember is that this woman would, like, when she'd make us lunch, she would ask us what we wanted, and then I would always be like, I want peanut butter, and she'd give me apple butter instead, and I fucking hated it.
That's not the same thing at all.
No, it's not. And
So what I'm getting from this is that both of us have worked with our taste aversion, but Tom has yet not.
I love pumpkin pie.
It's not a race.
I've made pumpkin pie.
Right. How he manages his trauma is his
business.
I've had
a life before you, Amber.
Fine, Tom!
I have made pumpkin pie from scratch.
You said you didn't like it very much, though.
No. I like the kind that Stop and Shop makes.
Yeah.
Sometimes, Hudson Coffee... Well, actually, they're now Uptown Coffee, but Hudson Coffee Traders in Kingston would make lattes with... Oh, no, I'm thinking of Outdated. I'm sorry, both of you. No, Outdated will sometimes make pumpkin lattes with actual pumpkin.
Wow.
And there it's actually pretty good.
Yeah.
Except for the latte part.
Well, it has chunks and stuff, which...
That's weird.
Like, I like, but yeah. I can see how it might...
I would rather... They need to make this is a cup that is just like pumpkin pie filling with some whipped cream and cinnamon on top.
Look,
I will talk
to Duo. I don't know. I don't think that they bake a lot of pies necessarily.
Well, it's not even a pie. It's a mug with it. Right. Like, it's like those cup desserts that are popular now.
It would be really easy to make that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Why don't you make that?
Yeah, you could easily make that.
Okay.
On the corner.
Okay. You need to make like a little biscotti type thing, like a little hardish bread crust to stick in it.
Which would be the thing that I would always discard because I hate that shit.
Well, I'll eat yours, Daniel.
I guess that's fine.
More stories or something.
I think I've told the apple pie story before. Like,
did you try and stick your penis in it?
No.
Okay.
No. It is pie related trauma though.
No.
No, so back in Tucson with, you know, the cult group, one of the members was sort of well off, so he had like a house up in the foothills and would kind of host like the holiday get-togethers, which would usually be these huge potluck things, which to be honest, I almost consider worth everything else that went along with the cult experience, because, you know, like some fucking good food. And I could just stuff myself all day. It was the best because, like, you just eat all day, and then dessert would happen, and then it would stretch on to midnight, and then you would eat again because, you know,
leftovers.
Yeah, and then you take home like, you know, six bags of like various types of shit. Anyways, my mother's friend made like her specialty was apple pie, and one of the years and mind you, this is a very fancy house, so you know, so one of the years she's cutting up the pie and serving it, and it's like just out of the oven, so it's, you know, molten core, you know, sugar. So of course I immediately put a giant spoonful into my mouth.
Ooh.
Oh no.
And yes, probably suffered second degree burns on the inside of my mouth. Mostly because I wouldn't spit it out because I was in a fancy place and I was like trying to go around trying to find a place that
would
be safe, and they eventually had to kind of shake it out of me. And then I was like, you know,
scarred for life.
Yeah. Well, not life. Well, a while. It took a while.
Tom and I used to have pie bets, and we had, whoever lost had to buy each other pie.
It was mostly an excuse to have pie.
Yeah.
Yeah, I see. So whoever loses, you both win.
Exactly. Pretty much, yeah.
Except whoever loses has to buy the pie.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
But I think...
So did Tom usually lose then?
Not always.
No, okay. I don't know.
That was...
But sometimes... Yeah.
I think there are definitely at least ones that I lost and Tom still bought the pie.
Yeah, because pie.
But I think being poor.
The issue is we tried various pie shops in the area, but we, again, like the store-bought stuff, so.
Yeah.
And you could easily buy, like, two full grocery store pies for the price of, like, two slices in one of the local restaurants, so.
Yeah, it doesn't exist anymore.
They have to be, like, I don't know, pastries have to be really good sometimes to justify, like, the prices you get in small artisanal stores.
Yeah. It is true.
And we're not fans of, like, what pumpkin pie is supposed to be.
Yeah.
We much prefer it smoother.
Well, and see, that's one of those weird things of, like, that's probably because that's how you were exposed to it most of the time. Yeah. So, which is also why it's so hard to, like, give up soda and shit like that.
Yeah. I definitely, when I started living on my own, I was once making myself, like, tuna for a tuna sandwich. And the woman I lived with was like, why are you putting little bits of bread in? I'm like, that's what you do. You put bits of bread in the tuna. She's like, no, you don't. I'm like, yeah. Why would you do that? That's what you do. Mm-hmm. You put little pieces of bread in there. And I'm like, and finally I'm like, I was poor, wasn't I? I was poor, and this is how my mom, like, filled out the tuna. Okay.
Yeah, well, I was going to say breadcrumbs.
It's sort of like that. But yeah, it's just you rip up a piece of bread and you put it in there and you mix it up.
So it's like toast sandwich. Remember that?
Yeah.
When that was a thing?
Yes. In England, you toast a piece of bread and you put it between two other pieces of bread and you eat it.
Yeah, well, if you don't have anything else, it does at least, like, give you different mouthfeel.
That's right. Yeah, I think with the food issues, a lot of it is like, nope, that is the wrong mouthfeel. I cannot enjoy that. It is the wrong consistency.
Well, I know that's
which is
like,
why hummus is gross.
Hummus is not gross, but I only expect it to be hummus.
Right. Yeah, no, I know that's like a lot of people, when sushi first started being a thing, like, that was the biggest hurdle, was getting over the consistency of you know, uncooked fish.
Yeah, which is a good feeling when you get used to it.
Oh, yeah. No, or if, like me, you would sneak, you know, raw bits of hamburger and or steak. Because, you know, flesh and meat.
I understand that. When I was a kid, I used, like, after my parents made steak and, like, then it was refrigerated, and I would just go and I would, like, put, like, either salt or garlic powder on the, like, a piece of cold steak and just, like, eat it. And I'm like, even at the time, I'm like, this probably isn't a normal thing to do, but it's really good.
Yeah.
And I wonder, like, did I have, like, a vitamin imbalance? Is that how I was trying to compensate?
Maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, it could be, or it could just be that, like, you know, your body recognizes protein as highly valuable.
And, true.
You know. Yeah.
This has become the food edition.
slowly.
Yeah.
Yeah. I, for a while, like, once I got to a point where, like, I was old enough to start buying my own food and stuff, like, I don't know, I was really kind of bent on getting cow heart to taste good, because it turns out heart is actually really hard to cook, because it's very tough and actually lean, so, like, you have to be really careful with how you cook it. It's really hard to grill, also.
A heart?
Yeah. Yes.
I'd like to eat a heart.
It's all right. It has, like, definitely has, like, a very distinct type of flavor.
Wait, so you had a heart? Where?
He's tried to make it palatable.
Oh, you tried to make it yourself?
Well, no, I did. Like, okay. It was a thing that I would kind of, like, you know, I'd buy myself a heart to, like, grill or whatever. This is back in Tucson where, you know, you could grill year round. But yeah, you know, various types of barbecues and whatnot, and I did eventually kind of, like, develop a taste for it, but it's definitely, like, was one of those things where the idea was kind of more interesting than the actuality.
I want to try it, just because I've never had any of the awful stuff. Awful, how you pronounce it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm probably good just eating muscle and whatnot.
It's funny. A heart is a muscle.
We were supposed to have a vegan here tonight, and maybe we're just overcompensating because she didn't show up.
I don't see why talking about eating a heart is any worse than talking about eating, like, a leg.
Once the animal's dead, like, the crime is committed.
And if anything, it's a crime not to eat the heart.
You must honor every part.
Well, that is one of the weird things is like modern animal processing is actually closer to that. Yeah, but for completely different reasons. It's from, you know, pure capitalism. Like, oh, I can sell the spine to makeup companies. All right.
True. Mm-hmm. My mother used to eat calf brain and eggs and scrambled eggs.
Yeah.
Which is like incredibly high in cholesterol. Like one serving of calf brains is like 1,000% of the cholesterol for like a week.
Well, and you can actually buy calf brain in milk, I believe.
Yeah.
In some places, like that's a thing. Now that's I'm kind of interested in. Like I have to admit that if you haven't read Hannibal, the book Hannibal, which so at the end, like that, it's sort of one of the plot points. He finally kills Paul Krendler, who's been like a thorn in Clarice Starling's life, you know, since she started at the FBI. But he excises part of his brain and kind of cooks it, and like it talks about the process, and it sounds really good. You know, I don't know.
Wait. His own brain or this FBI guy's brain?
The FBI.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. I'm sure they must do something similar at some point in Hannibal, because...
Not that I've
really?
Seen.
Yeah,
oh, no! No, they do, I think. That was one of the episodes we didn't watch.
Yeah, I was going to say, because like, it's such an iconic moment that I'm pretty sure they would have had to include it.
I don't think it actually happens, but he comes close to trying to eat someone's brain.
Yeah.
But I don't think he succeeds.
Yeah, it's good stuff. But yeah, so brain, I'd be kind of interested to try prepared brain of some sort. Doesn't have to be a person, but you know,
doesn't have to be, listeners.
Yeah. I don't know, like maybe. Yeah. I feel the color is weirder to me than like a heart, because it's like it's usually like gray.
Yeah, I don't know the right way to prepare it, because I think it'd be really easy to do brains wrong.
Oh yeah, no, there is like because like you do have to do something to. It seemed like a lot of the preparation was trying to get it to firm up without, because otherwise it just disintegrates into a mush. Because your brain is very fragile, like it's.
It'd be cool if you could unravel it and then fry it like calamari.
Well, it's not actually not.
I know it's not possible. I know that's not how a brain is actually created, but I think it would be cool if it was.
Also, listeners, just in case you're tempted to try, you should be aware that like eating human brains would actually be very bad for you, because you could pick up or get
Kuru.
Yes, and prions. Like same mad cow disease.
Brains in general. General, not human brains
necessarily.
Yes.
Yeah. So
are all brains, like, I guess all brains are made out of pretty much the same thing, right?
Yeah, more or although less. Like yeah, the specific DNA and proteins and whatnot making it up does matter.
Okay. And so they would be different protein lengths.
Yeah, and you can actually tell if you've had cannibals in your history, because there are mutations that certain populations have that allow them to deal with the prion that you would otherwise like get sick from eating human brains.
I wonder like how you can tell that. Is it just a genetic test?
It's a, like they identified a gene that allows you to do
that. And yet 23andme.com won't tell me if I have cannibals in my history, the bastards.
Yeah.
What?
23andme?
What's that?
You send like a cheek swab sort of thing. And then they figure out, like, you know, where your ancestors came from, what percent different ethnicities you are.
Yeah. Maybe I should do that.
Maybe. It's like $79 at a cheek swab, something like that.
That's, which is, for DNA testing, like, that's really reasonable. Yeah.
There was, and I guess they have, like, an appy where, like, you know, obviously once you have this information, it's on a website. And if you're a developer of, you know, website technology...
Yeah. Yeah.
You can, like, use it. And someone basically made it so you have to be, like, above a certain percentage Caucasian to visit their website. And 23andMe shut that down. They're like, no, you can never, ever use this anymore. You're a bad person. This is not what this is for.
Yeah.
He's like, I was just doing it to see if I could do it.
Well, it goes back to that thing of, like, you know, the way that the way discoveries are used and the way that tools are used. Like, if it can be used for good, it can be used for evil. And like, it's really hard to restrict one without, you know, cutting yourself off from the other. So,
yeah.
You know, you might just have to accept that, you know, somebody could use this data for nefarious purposes.
And try and social shame them or
right,
something.
Right. As long as they're not, you know, making government services, like, you know, reliant upon this data.
Yeah.
So, Amber.
So, Tom.
Do you have any, like, Thanksgiving stories? What did you do for Thanksgiving, usually, when you were younger?
We usually just had Thanksgiving with my mom, my dad, my sister.
Okay.
Yeah. We went around the table, said what we were thankful for.
I see.
It's pretty cute. Sometimes we lit candles, had a sparkling cider.
That's cute.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm with that.
Later on, we went to my uncle's sometimes. That was fun, too.
My mother used to try to make Thanksgiving, but then she found that, like, fatiguing. And so then we went to restaurants, which is not a bad experience overall. And then she decided that she would have second Thanksgiving. So we would still go to a restaurant, but then she'd make Thanksgiving dinner, like, a day later.
Yep.
Which is weird.
I kind of liked my Thanksgiving. It was like a whole event, usually. It was kind of like how we did Christmas a little bit, too. Like, because you'd have the, like, cinnamon, like, the Pillsbury cinnamon
yes,
roll graham
still,
things. Which we still
do
that.
That.
We do that. Which just makes me sick, because then I eat, like, half a pan of these.
Yes, you do.
But, so we used to have that for breakfast, and we'd, like, hang out all day while my mom made turkey. Probably overcooked it or whatever. It took forever all the time, but, you know.
Did I tell you about the one time where my boss at work, like, smuggled a turkey cooking?
Yes!
Yeah.
But yes. Tell the listeners.
Oh, so like, they were doing renovation at my workplace, and my department got moved. We were essentially moved into, like, a tiny closet with three full-size desks crammed together. So Thanksgiving rolls around, and my boss decides that we're going to make a turkey, like our little department's going to have, like, a whole thing. So she smuggles in, like, a full-size electric turkey cooker, like it's like a giant crock pot, essentially,
yeah,
but for a turkey. And so the entire day we just have like this thing brewing under her desk, and, like, the smells wafting out into the hallway, and other people are noticing. And yeah, it was a whole big thing. And then I got to cut it, which is my favorite thing in the world.
That would be pretty good.
Yeah.
It's fun.
People should invite Daniel over just to carve their carcasses.
It's like an art form.
Well, I don't know. I'm pretty sure I enjoyed it slightly too much to be healthy.
That's okay.
Yeah.
You're good at it.
I'm glad that's how you get
sure
your
you
homicidal
a,
rage out.
I'm sure you could get a job just doing that, too.
I don't think you'd like it anymore.
Yeah, well, it does. I mean, I've thought of that before.
Part-time
like
job.
I've considered, you know, going into butchery, like,
per
especially
diem.
In upstate New York, that's a thing you can do. But yeah, it is. I don't know. I don't know if my enjoyment of it is enough to justify, like, the skill level required if you're going to do it professionally. Yeah. But plus, like, you know, the other best part of it is like cutting the best bits out and then stuffing them in your face while you're.
That is true. They probably would frown upon that.
Yes.
Though you have said you ate raw hamburger, so.
Yeah. It's a thing.
On purpose?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
Well,
he enjoyed it.
Yeah, see, okay. like I know one of the reasons I think veganism is ultimately going to win is because a lot of people now have the, you know, they grew up not understanding that meat comes from animals.
Yeah.
But I've never been confused about that because I grew up watching the Nature Channel, and, you know, so, like, I have no confusion about where meat comes from, and I've always kind of had a thing for it. Like I'm sure I've told the story on the podcast before about, like, getting the emu steak and you know, just having this weird like cat on catnip response to, because it came packaged in real blood, which was, like, not something you usually experience because it's usually just the water from you know, nasty meat from the store.
Yeah.
Oh, it was so good. Delicious.
Like, was it cold? The hamburger meat?
What? Oh, you're still on that.
Sorry.
Sure.
Okay. Yeah. See, that would be my issue. Like, I might be more okay with eating raw meat if it was, like, warmish.
Right.
Because I don't like when I get, like, a hamburger and, like, the center's still, like, cold and not really cooked.
Yeah. No, and see, like, I used to get mine essentially raw with, like, slight grill marks or something.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Which I still sometimes appreciate, although, like, you know, now that I have access to a wider range of, like, really well-cooked steaks,
yeah,
can enjoy meat in all of its states of carbonization.
Of course, I also eat fat, and I'm not supposed to.
That is true.
Did you have your gallbladder out?
No, I mean, like, the fat on steaks and stuff, it's just kind of, I like eating that.
Well, you know, I mean, I don't think you're supposed to cut it off, but, you know. That is one of those, like, things. Now, yeah, I'm not a huge fan.
I think it also depends on, like, one thing I was reading. Like, it was just a person writing about vegetables and omega-3s or whatever.
Right.
But that, like, I definitely would be more comfortable eating the fat from an animal that's, like, organically raised than, like, one that possibly has a lot of antibiotics in its fat.
Yeah.
Okay. Have you read the article I saw it this week, where they're comparing steak to SUVs, saying it's a very decadent thing and it's very hard on the environment?
I haven't read that one specifically. I do know that technically, like, factory farming, it has a way bigger impact than, you know, all the SUVs that have been on the road ever, essentially.
Actually, pretty much more than anything else we do.
Yeah, which is also why, like the simple act of not eating meat for one day has a tremendous positive impact, you know. And if you can extend it to 2 days a week, that's even better.
Right.
And, like, it's not even, I don't know, it's not hard, like, I guess it's hard to do it on that scale, but, like, you can raise meat without all the problems that we're making.
You definitely can, but it's another one of those issues of, you can't have meat that's raised well also be as cheap as factory farm food is. Because, like, that's
but, I mean, like, simple things, like, causes. Actually composting their poop,
right.
Their waste, would make such a difference.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. No, I mean,
like, right now it's just releasing methane everywhere. Or you can harvest it for the methane. Like, that's a thing people do, too.
Yeah, although, like, if you're harvesting it for the methane, you're presumably using the methane, which is still putting it into the atmosphere eventually.
Yeah, but at least it's being used for something.
Yeah, there are, like, I've seen actual, like, drafted plans for essentially, like, you know, diapers for cows that collect the methane.
Yeah.
Because mostly it's them farting. Like, a lot of the methane gets exposed that way. Yeah, so there are a lot of ways around that, but definitely, you know, also just not eating as much would be a tiny thing.
Yeah.
And even though I'm not, like, an advocate necessarily of, like veganism specifically, like, I do see a lot of merit to the arguments for, you know, just eating less slightly. Or also, like when you think about what you eat most of the time, meat isn't always, even in America, like, it's still not the only thing you're eating. Like, it's very often people will eat almost completely vegetarian dishes without thinking of it because it's not presented that way. And, you know, if you're having good food, like, a lot of the really good shit is probably not meat also, you know.
I mean, there aren't any, like, meat-based desserts, really. I mean, there are probably some, but there aren't, like the classic desserts aren't meat-based. Although they do have a lot of, they usually have a lot of fat.
Right.
And milk, depending on how you feel about milk.
So it's not vegetarian, it's not vegan, it's often vegetarian.
Yeah, so I had, at Duo today, they had a brisket hash, which is, you know, some chunks of brisket.
Beef brisket,
okay. Yes. And it was amazing, of course, but the majority of it was, like, roasted root vegetables, so potatoes and I believe it was both carrots and parsnips, and they were kind of, like, roasted and also in, like, the brisket juices, and it was amazing. But yeah, like, the you know, the
well, like, with my own stew recipe, I changed it around. I doubled the meat and the potatoes in it because those are the best parts.
Okay.
Well, I like the carrots as much, so I don't know.
Well, I don't always put, like, the other vegetables are a little.
Yeah.
But I mean, more like, otherwise it would be more liquidy, too.
Yeah. Well, and that is a hard thing, too, is, like, definitely, you know, if you're okay with eating meat, like, your body's going to recognize that, like, it's the most, I don't know, there's a reason that we like it so much. It has, you know, it's so much more valuable than most sources of the nutrients we get from it.
It's the same thing with drinking milk.
Right, right. Like your body's like, oh, fuck yeah, there's all this fat in here also, yeah. So I don't have to work as hard, you know, chasing something down and or, you know, eating 20 pounds of grass or whatever.
Yep.
I know there are lots of options now for getting alternative sources of those things. It's just, you know, I want to eat.
And like, I wonder, because I mean, I'm sure vegetarians have different gut bacteria than non-vegetarians. Mm. Like, they might be better at digesting some vegetables than we are.
It definitely, what you eat changes, you know, your gut bacteria.
Yeah.
And you're also, to a degree, stuck with whatever you were born with. So some people will do way better on it than other people.
That is true.
I wish it was easier to, like, upgrade your gut bacteria, I guess.
Soon. Although
it might just throw you off balance. Yeah.
Maybe not. I mean, I listened to the Getting in Line episode today, just because, mm-hmm. you know, I was stuck at work and I didn't have anything else to. And there, like, I think we were talking about like, fecal transplants. And, that's one of the few ways you can actually, like, adjust your gut bacteria. But I do know, like, they keep finding new things that are affected more by your gut bacteria than sometimes even your DNA. Like
emotions and stuff, too.
Yeah,
oh, absolutely.
Yeah, so I imagine, you know, once we if we actually expend energy trying to figure that out, I don't doubt that that'll be, you know, a thing you can do.
Well, I found out today, speaking of gut bacteria, that there are mealworms and waxworms, and their gut bacteria allows them to healthily eat styrofoam and plastic.
Oh, is that why you were pretending to be a mealworm today?
Yes.
Yes.
Plus, you did mention the mealworm thing earlier in the podcast, I think.
Did I?
Maybe. You mentioned being a mealworm.
That might have been
like
why.
You used the descriptor.
Okay.
But, yes. Digest it. And they, like, still have usable poop.
Yeah. You can farm with it, and the byproduct is carbon dioxide, which if we don't cut all the trees down, we can handle.
Right.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. It's weird that, you know, that we think that's a better option than, you know, I don't know, looking for alternatives.
Plus,
like
going back to the cows thing, because a lot of rainforests are cut down to raise cows.
Right.
True.
Right.
So that's like, here, it's like double, like, punch in the face.
Right.
And, like, most of it's done illegally, and then they, like, just abandon it.
Yeah, I know there's a lot of, like, kind of guerrilla action against illegal farming because it's, you know, the governments in those areas aren't actually working that hard to stop it.
No.
So you have a lot of these tribes sort of, you know.
Cool.
Sabotaging machines and
killing people.
Killing people and, you know, which, I mean, yeah.
They're trying to kill us all, Amber. It's okay.
Sure. Conflict is inevitable, at least until post-scarcity occurs. But then space will become the giant resource that we can't replace.
Like, because everybody, physical space?
Oh, yeah, because everybody will live longer. And
true.
You either
it
cut down
on how many
people.
It kind of already is like that.
Not really. Didn't you hear John Oliver earlier today? Like most developed nations are
oh,
at negative
decreasing.
Population growth or approaching it. So, you know, it's not necessarily that there are too many people. That's, you know, that's just a convenient thing to kind of throw around when you want to disparage third world countries.
I just mean, like, space as at a premium in that, like, I know, like, it's hard to get farmland if you're a farmer, and it's hard to, like, get, like, land for yourself if you're renting.
Well, another, like, unfortunate, another fortunate side effect of you know, having things like nations and whatnot is that it makes for very inefficient, you know, space allocation. Not much like capitalism is very bad at allocating resources. That's right. We had to say it at some point.
Yeah, I was gonna say we always have to have a dig at capitalism.
The Pope is anti-capitalism though too.
But he's also still see, like, that's the thing is like yes, you have to applaud him for his speaking out about that, but then you immediately have to also turn around and be like, but come on, man, stop shitting on women.
Someone
and
at work today goes to Bard and he was like, we always get these emails about student government and things. So me and my friend, we were joking about making student anarchy. I'm like, yeah. And she's like, yeah, but probably won't do anything. And I was like, no, you should totally do that and actually mean it.
Yeah, because that's... Aw, that was cute. But that's a criticism that, like, I had of Bard for the very short time that I was sort of, like, you know, hanging out there because I wasn't attending. But it did seem like the student body would generally be, you know, they'd get very worked up about things they could not affect and would have no interest at all in, like, dealing with issues they could affect. Like,
I definitely recall, because I dated a Bard student.
Me too.
Shocking.
Yeah.
I haven't.
Good.
Yet.
Anyway. And they were very upset about some international injustice. However, at the very same time, the cooks and maintenance workers were striking, and they're like, this is really inconvenient, they should just stop, like, why, what are they whining about, they should just do their jobs.
Yeah,
and it's like, you're not at all seeing the contrast here. That no, not even a little bit.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah, well, I mean, that's usually us privileged folks' response to, you know, people striking is like, oh, I'm being inconvenienced, why?
In other countries they have like schedules and stuff
for striking.
Yeah, cool. Because there are some countries that striking is like a huge thing that happens like all the time.
It's actually if you have unions and the like there is a legal framework for striking, and it is a legal process. Unless you're an air traffic controller, and then you're not allowed to, which
I think
kind of defeats the purpose of having a union. But
I feel like it's France or it's somewhere in Europe that, like, if you visit there, you can get, like, you should, like, look up what's striking so you know, like, what you have to, plan your trip around.
And I'm sure it has to do with, like, when contracts are expiring.
Yeah.
Because that's always when you have fighting and whatnot. But yeah, no, I mean, it's usually easier to, you know, it is actually, like, hard not to be annoyed when you're inconvenienced by something
anything.
Like that. Yeah, I mean, like, I know I've definitely had that response before, even when I knew better, of being like ugh, what, you're holding up traffic.
Yeah,
it's aggravating.
I mean, people get irritated at like accident victims.
Oh, right, the same thing.
Or, like, how dare the traffic be moving slowly? I don't care that there was a horrible accident,
or
like they redirect
vehicles.
Us. Yeah. People like things to be convenient.
It's true. We should wrap it up.
Okay.
Amber, final thought.
Food-based capitalism is bad.
Okay. Daniel, final thought.
Capitalism is bad. Italics, fix that for you.
Fix that for you? Oh.
I enjoy eating animals.
Sexy.
Yeah, we haven't done an episode on veganism, vegetarianism, and
touch on it fairly often, though.
We do, but I think we could, because actually, like, if we can get Danielle on again, like, I know she's, I think she talked about it a little bit, but I know she's also a vegetarian.
Yes, she is.
And if I can get my other friend on, she can maybe bring her perspective.
We can make sides.
That's true.
Oh, yes, we should have, yes.
Stuffing, some sweet potatoes.
We have sweet potatoes.
Yeah.
I was making a joke and I ruined it.
When you cook sweet potatoes, I still don't understand why you put marshmallows on it.
That's delicious. I don't know why either.
See, I've always hated that.
Yeah, me too.
I like the sweet potato way more than the marshmallow.
Okay, say
bye.
Bye.